We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events, the list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Wednesday. It's April 7th. It's 2021. We have 9 NBA games to talk about here on today's slate. You guys might know him as Drizzy26. I know him as Dre. What's happening, my friend?
What's going on, Stevie? Just, you know, hanging in there, sweating a little bit with some, hopefully, some good baseball lineups, and just trying to not think about basketball right now since all the news broke tonight and messed up all my lineups.
Basketball does that to you. You know, especially post All-Star break, you get teams, I won't say tanking, but they're tanking. And, you know, some teams just trying to rest some of their studs and making sure that they're ready for the playoffs and stuff like that. But it definitely feels like it happens a lot more, you know, this time of the year. So, you know, definitely, you know, ready for, you know, the playoffs. I love playoff basketball. Definitely ready, you know, going into a slate, knowing exactly what you're kind of looking for.
Oh, exactly. You know, it's the best. Yeah. You can't definitely beat playoff basketball. I love especially with the first and second round because it makes it really interesting. On a shorter game, you have to think more so with strategy. So that's perfect and up my alley.
All right, let's get into this slate. We got 9 games. We don't have a ton of totals. We have teams on back-to-backs. We have a ton of injury news. We're going to give you guys the best first look we possibly can, but obviously a lot is going to change on this slate throughout the day, so make sure you guys are paying attention to crunch time and all the premium stuff here at Roto Grinders. We start with Minnesota at Indy. Beasley's out. Noel is out, and it's a back-to-back for the Pacers, who had some guys out on Tuesday. Sabonis was out dealing with a little bit of an ankle injury, and Brogdon dealing with a hip injury. He was out. So obviously we're waiting to see whether or not Sabonis and Brogdon play. And I think, like, I read something like Miles Turner sprained his foot or something. So probably not going to see Miles Turner in this game either. So let's start with the Minnesota side of things. Anything standing out to you here for the Timberwolves?
It's kind of hard to really have anything stand out, especially on DK, what I'm looking at right now. prices are a little bit up on Towns and Edwards. Especially Edwards is still priced at a point where Russell should be out, but he's back. Even though I know he's playing on a limited amount of minutes, it's still just kind of hard to kind of roster anybody from this game. From this side of the ball, really, honestly. But if you do want to take some shots in tournaments, I do like maybe taking shots on McDaniels, possibly, especially against the matchup against Indy, and Karl-Anthony Towns only if, and this is only if, because he's still really get affected by the production or of D'Angelo Russell being back. But pretty much I would target him only if mainly like the Indy bigs are out in the front, because I think this game could still stay close because Minnesota's not still that good of a team. So pretty much just Towns as the DPP shot and maybe McDaniel as a deep tournament flyer on FanDuel.
I think the guy that I'm the most interested in taking like a tournament flyer on is D'Angelo Russell. He played 24 minutes after missing almost 2 months. Expecting him to play, even if he plays like 25 minutes, he put up 19 shot attempts the other night. Like, he's going to chuck it. Like, there's no doubt about it. He's going to chuck it. So I think D'Angelo Russell is someone that if you want to take shots on in tournaments, I don't hate it. Karl-Anthony Towns saw his usage go down a little bit the other night with Russell back. If Sabonis is out, if Turner is out, they're really not going to have anybody to really guard Karl-Anthony Towns. So his upside's there. The Pacers, it's impossible to talk about this one the night before because it's all going to depend on injury news. If Sabonis is out, if Turner is out, if Brogdon is out, like, we're going to see potentially like Jaden, or no, it's not Jaden McDaniels. It's Bitstave, right? Bitstave would be the guy that would have to play minutes.
But he came back last night too, I believe, because he got hurt briefly in the game too, today too, that was going on from when I was looking at the on one of my Twitter notifications I got. But if he is playing, then yeah, I think he's gonna have to be in play, especially at his price of what, 3K minimum salary on DraftKings. Like, this team, I think tomorrow will be like, obviously you're gonna have to probably lock in LeVert, but if everyone else is out, they're gonna be just the top team on the slate to target for value. Assuming everyone else is going to suit up and play.
Yeah, we don't even know what we'd be potentially looking at, like LeVert. I think Jeremy Lamb would be super interesting. He's really cheap in this spot. Like, he's still really cheap at 3,400. As far as center goes, like, you might see Chikara Sampson and Bitstays play center. Like, it's a good matchup against Minnesota, but I don't know who you really trust in this one. So,
yeah. Also, I got a real quick take. Like, if everyone is out too, Evan Summer started today, and he's been. And I know against the Spurs, he played around 30 minutes at 3,500. He also, I think, could be in play. But that is, like I said, if everyone's out, but we're not going to know until tomorrow's news and breaks.
Washington at Orlando, no total in this game because the whole team for both sides is questionable. Bradley Beal is questionable. Thomas Bryant is out. Gafford's out. Hachimura is questionable. Lopez is questionable. On the Orlando side of things, Anthony is questionable. Burch is questionable. Michael Carter-Williams is questionable. Fultz is out. Harris is out. Isaac's out. Porter's out. All right, we got through it. Washington, let's talk about them. What are we looking at here for the Wizards?
Well, Rui, I thought they said he was out without a timetable to return. I'm not sure. Even though I see the Q tag on him now, maybe that changed. But I kind of don't expect Rui to play. I'm not sure about Beal if he's going to be back or not. But if he's out, you got to play Russell Westbrook, even in the matchup against Orlando. Orlando has been playing really hard. That's one thing I can say about them, even without the trading pretty much everyone away from their starting lineup. They play really hard. So Russell Westbrook is someone I think you can definitely play tomorrow, even even in the game with Beal being out potentially. Danny Avdia, he's a good play I would target. And if Beal is out, Raul Neto comes into play more. And Bertans, has he been seeing an uptick in his minutes the last game? He played 24, so he got 4 more minutes in the first game he had back. So if I expect maybe about 24 again, maybe 28 minutes maybe. So he could be in play too at that price. And also Garrison Matthews too.
As far as Orlando goes, like you said, they're playing tough. They're playing hard. These young guys are, you know, trying to fight for position. We really haven't seen like Terrence Ross have massive games as much as we want. I think
this is the game though.
You think this is the spot?
This is, yeah, 6,400 and plus with everyone against Washington. He's been putting up a lot of shots, I know. And how many shots? 18. I mean, Utah 11, but besides the Utah game, 18, 21 and against New Orleans. Then obviously 12 against the Clippers, but 19 against Miami. I think he's going to put up the shots again in this one because he knows there's no one else that's better than him on that team, talent wise.
Wendell Carter Jr. 6K, over 40 fantasy points in 3 straight games. I don't know, man. Okoki, like I'm a Magic fan, and I get what they're doing. It's just it's really tough to watch this in general. So, anybody else here from the Magic?
No, but not besides Terrence Ross, which I think could be the game for him, and Wendell, and like you said, Michael Carter Jr. I mean Michael Carter Williams. Sorry, see those are the only two people I would target from Orlando tomorrow at all.
Yeah, they could be without a point guard. Look, we'll see. Moving on, we got New York at Boston. It's a back-to-back for Boston. Robinson's out for New York. Fournier was in protocol, so he'll be out for a few games for Boston, so don't have to worry about him. Any interest here in New York?
The elevated price. I mean, this game's going to be competitive. It's going to be a slower game. Probably not. If I do, it'll be some one-offs and like with like Randall. That's about it. But his price at 9.9 is a little bit too high on DK. I probably won't get to it, honestly.
Yeah, I just like you can play Randall on any slate. Like any slate you want to play Randall, he has a ceiling. But I don't know. I don't think I can do it. I think like if you want to play Randall on any slate, you can play him. I'm never going to talk you off of it. Mm-hmm. Man, Derrick Rose is so tempting at 4,800. I'm not going to do it, but it's tempting. Anything here for Boston?
Boston, see, that's another team. They're iffy with the way they've been playing lately. But Kemba Walker's not going to play tomorrow. So that with that being said, you can target Marcus Smart, I think, tomorrow, Jaylen Brown and Tatum. It's just you don't know what you're going to get out of them, even though it's a slower-paced matchup against New York, since they've been playing better defense this year. Those are the three main guys I would target, and maybe throw some Robert Williams in GPPs. But that's really it. If anybody, if like I said, you do, I'm going to Boston because the matchup is not the greatest on the slate.
Moving on, New Orleans at Brooklyn. It's a back-to-back for New Orleans. We saw Zion return for the Pelicans, played 35 minutes, just played his normal amount of minutes. Ingram was out. Alexander Walker is out. Hart was out. We'll have to kind of see how that all kind of plays out. And then on the Brooklyn side of things, Harden's out, Shamit's out, Johnson's out. Let's start with New Orleans. What are we looking at here?
New Orleans... It's if Zion is in, I love him tomorrow. Even at 9K, he can smash that price, especially against Brooklyn, who doesn't really have much of a front court. I don't expect Brandon Ingram to play again, since it seems like he would have been back already, honestly. So I don't think he's going to play tomorrow. So with that being said, Zion, Lonzo, Bledsoe. Those are like the main guys I would target. I like taking some shots with James Johnson in DPPs. He is not starting right now. Well, he is starting a small forward if Brandon Ingram's out, which I think he will most likely be. James Johnson, I think, is a good playing DPPs against Brooklyn. He does it all as far as getting plays defense, gets steals, blocks, assists, and he played what, 26 minutes the last game. He's not going to obviously be shooting a ton like he was before, but he has definitely the upside to get the peripheral stats and get a nice little double-double on DK.
Oh, Brooklyn. All right, well, Harden's out, Gares. You know, we still have Kyrie. We still probably have Durant. You think Durant plays normal minutes? We don't think they're rushing him back, right?
See, that's what I've been trying to figure out since I heard earlier today he was probable. I would assume they would play him his regular minutes since he's been out for so long. But I don't know how they're going to limit him because of conditioning. I would expect him to play probably though around like 25 minutes. But even if he did play around 25 minutes with Kevin Durant against New Orleans, he can still have that upside, especially at 9-2 on DK. That's too cheap for his upside and ceiling.
Yeah, if we get news that Durant's not going to play, I don't care. Kyrie's 10-2. We're playing him. Like if Harden and Durant both end up sitting, we're potentially looking at Joe Harris. LaMarcus Aldridge would potentially be a guy we could look at. Like, this would be a spot we'd be looking at, you know, not just Kyrie, but some other guys.
Oh yeah, definitely. And also, I would honestly be tempted to probably, like, I know it's kind of weird to say, but Blake Griffin in this spot is very, very weird to say. I know, but 22 minutes he's been averaging about in the past couple of games, you know, with them. And I think he can have an upside matchup and upside game in this matchup, I think, too. Because they're gonna need a big body like that out there to guard Zion. And he's one that it pretty much has the same type of body he can keep up with them, I think.
Oh, good old Blake Griffin. Memphis at Atlanta, 229 total in this one. Atlanta favored by 2. Both these teams on a back-to-back. We have no idea what we're going to be looking at injury-wise. I don't think we see John Collins play. I highly doubt like Hunter and these guys play. What are we looking at here for Memphis?
John Morant, he left the game too, right? I believe, from what I was looking at too. So I would keep an eye on that too to find out if he plays. It was his back. I don't know if he came back. I know the game was in hand that they had when they were playing Miami. But if he is in, which I expect him to be, John Morant's an excellent play, phenomenal play against Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks. I know they've been playing a little bit of a slower play and been playing better defense, but he's a 7.1. He has to have a game at some point where he breaks his slump he's been in. And it's been a long time, I know, but I think this could be the spot, too. It's a perfect matchup against Trae Young, who doesn't really, like I said, play defense. Jonas Valanciunas, I think he's a great option to us at the center position, a 7-2. Kyle Anderson, he's another. Yep. I think he's a phenomenal play tomorrow. Can do it all, rebound, move, bring up the ball, get assists, get steals and rebounds and blocks. So, I love him tomorrow as well.
Like Kyle Anderson a lot. I was going to mention him. I like Morant here against Trae Young. Morant's just a guy when he's hot, man, he can break slates. So, always like John Morant. Good old Atlanta. Handed New Orleans a loss on Tuesday. 52 fantasy points for Trae Young, over 49 in 2 of his last 3, over 47 in 3 of his last 4. What are we looking at here for Atlanta?
Trae Young, he might be one of the top players on the slate. I wouldn't be surprised if he's the highest scoring player on the slate tomorrow. He's in a phenomenal spot against Memphis. They're not playing that great of defense this year. I think he can definitely continue the streak and have a good game. I like him tomorrow. I like Clint Capella as well. This game is probably one of the better games to target fantasy-wise on the slate, too, especially with other bodies being out. So Bogdanovich is great, too. Gallo, Lou Williams, even in tournaments. I love targeting Lou in tournaments. That's a GPP one-off. And Kevin Herter, he's gonna run 25 minutes, so he can still pay off the salary, but it's kind of hard at 5-1. I might want to see that go down a little bit more on DK, but he's still in play.
Yeah, like this game being the second end of a back-to-back for both these teams, we could see a little bit faster pace, a little less defense. I'm with you. I think this is definitely a game we're potentially looking at, and obviously a lot's going to depend on like injury news with like Durant and some of these other guys, but indie news, and you know, we haven't gotten to some of these other games. So Dallas at Houston, no total, ton of guys questionable and stuff. Burke is questionable. Willie Cauley-Stein is out. Kleber is questionable. Porzingis is questionable. Redick is out. On the Houston side, Exum out, Gordon out, House out, Nwaba out, Wall questionable. Here we go again. All right, if Porzingis doesn't play, it's hard not to like Luka. Obviously gets a huge uptick in usage when Porzingis is off the floor, already averaging 58 fantasy points in two matchups against this team this season. What are you looking at here for the Mavs?
I love Luka. He's the second person I think has a chance to be the top player on the slate. Probably my second favorite play. Honestly, because I think I would probably go a little bit more balanced depending on how the news breaks in the indie game. But Luka is someone to target, and if Porzingis is out, and then I love playing, like, getting a little bit of a Josh Richardson and Tim Hardaway Jr. You can even throw a little bit of Dorian Finney-Smith in there too, but I can't really see myself going to him too much. I think that's a stretch in GPPs. And also, Porzingis was out last game. And if he's out, then you can also look at Nikola Melli, who played around 32 minutes, I think, when he was out last, if I'm correct. So I think he's someone that you have to really keep an eye on, look at 4K. Against Houston, he can have a good game against them.
Nico is super interesting here because if Kiebler sits too, Porzingis, like Willie Cauley-Stein's already out. Like Melly's going to play 30 minutes against Houston at 4K. So I think that's a fantastic call. We could even see like Boban play minutes if both of those guys sit with Willie Cauley-Stein. So, I think Boban's super interesting too.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. And I kind of think Boban might actually see a little bit of run, maybe. Just to offset Christian Wood a little bit. If he's going to, even though Wood likes to tend to go to the three-point line and shoot threes, I think you could see maybe briefly for a little bit.
Anything here from Houston? I think obviously Houston, first of all, really depends on John Wall, right? Like that's something you got to be paying attention to.
Yeah, if John Wall is out, then Christian Wood and Kevin Porter Jr. become almost borderline must plays in a lineup, I feel. It'd be hard to kind of get away from them just based on the matchup against Dallas, who doesn't really play that. Even though they're playing a little bit better defense lately, they still are not one of the better defenses in the league. So I love targeting them too. And I would say also don't sleep on Kelly Olynyk and playing him in tournaments. He can – I know he started side-by-side last time with Christian Wood, but he's been playing really, really well with the Houston Rockets since he came over from Miami. I think he's definitely worth a tournament shot for sure.
I don't like Olynyk as much if Porzingis plays, because Porzingis can guard Olynyk out on the three-point line. Like Olynyk stretches the floor on some of these big guys, but I think if you want to play him, go ahead.
So, sorry, I was saying you wouldn't think that. Chris, I know it's hard because he's going to be switching, but I think Porzingis would mainly be on Christian Wood, wouldn't you think?
Maybe. Like, this is where it gets really tricky with if Kleber plays too. I think that's where it kind of gets tricky, and why we were potentially saying like Boban might play minutes in this game. Like,
yeah, you know,
so
you got a point there.
Anything else from Houston?
No, but that's it.
All right, moving on. We got Charlotte at OKC, 214 total. Charlotte favored by 4.5 in this game. LaMelo's out. Hayward's out. Monk is out. Baisley out. Dort out. SGA out. Muscala out. Roby out. Whew. Man, must be towards the end of basketball season. What are we looking at here for Charlotte?
It'll be the main guys for me. I can't see myself playing anyone else from this team besides like Terry Rozier, Graham. Graham price is perfect. Terry might be a little bit too expensive, on DraftKings at 8,400. Even though we know he can have what his upside is, but in this match with OKC, I don't think that price is worth paying for him. I would use like play more so like Graham, Washington, and Bridges with everyone else being out.
Yeah, like, man, there's so much potential here for Charlotte. So much potential. If OKC can keep this game close, there's so much potential. I love Graham. I think he is someone that if this game stays close, which Charlotte games have not been staying close lately, but OKC's so bad. And with Hayward out, I think Bridges is someone you could definitely take shots on as well. I don't think I play Cody Martin. There's so many more value plays that I think that are better on this slate. What about OKC?
That's a tough one. It's hard to read OKC, honestly. They're playing a lot of the guys like 20 minutes and they're priced up a little bit. Maybe Svee Mykhailiuk, potentially. Even he's 5.5 on DK tomorrow. I don't know what he is on FanDuel. I haven't looked at FanDuel yet. But if he's, but I know last time he was cheaper, significantly cheaper on FanDuel. So if he is cheaper on FanDuel, he would definitely probably be more of a play over there for sure. He's still 3,800 on FanDuel. I think he's definitely in play. But Moses Brown is the only other person I could probably see myself getting to. Just because the matchup, I know he's been playing a little bit bad lately, but the matchup, with Charlotte, he should be able to dominate. I don't see why he shouldn't be. This kid has a lot of potential and a lot of upside with the rebounding, block shots, and putting the ball back in the bucket off rebound. So he's like probably one of my top players from the team next to Svee.
Gotta like Moses Brown here. 2020 upside in this game. 2020 upside. I think Maldon is super interesting for tournaments if you want to throw a shot in the dark. If a close game, he's definitely someone that can put up, you know, 30 plus. So definitely like him as well. Moving on, we got San Antonio at Denver. No total in this game. It's a back-to-back for Denver. Lyles is out. Murray is questionable. Walker's out. And we'll have to see if anything comes out of Denver. You know, we know that Jamal Murray dealing with a little bit of knee soreness might have just been like sitting on the front end of a back-to-back. Let's talk San Antonio. What are we looking at here for the Spurs?
I like DeMar. His price is coming up a little bit more, but if Murray's out, he's definitely in play. And I like Derek White and Kelvin Johnson in this matchup. Those are like the main people I would target from this team. But my favorite play, honestly, might be Kelvin Johnson. Power forward eligibility, 5.6K against Denver. They've been playing more up tempo lately. I think he just has an opportunity to rebound the ball. And Denver also has been playing a little bit. I think Murray's going to sit, though, honestly, personally. I think he is. So that's what makes me draw my attention more. So, like, Kelvin's one less body that they're going to have out there to defend. And their defense has been a little bit iffy at times, especially when the last game I was watching when they were playing against Orlando, it wasn't good at all.
If DeJounte Sertz, like, do you think Derek White gets a huge bump? Like,
I think that's the thing. I was trying when I looked at the stats before, Derek White got the biggest bump, I think, between him and DeMar. But it's not really that different because Derek White is still playing. He's gonna play the same amount of minutes. It's like his minutes load doesn't increase. The person who I saw the minutes like increase from it, I think, was more so, like I said, Keldon Johnson, or and bringing Patty Mills maybe into the lineup and get him more minutes. But with Popovich, you never know what he's going to do either.
Denver. I mean, if the game stays close, Jokic is always somebody that has a ton of ceiling. But like with Gordon being there now too, it has definitely hurt Jokic's like overall ceiling.
Oh yes, definitely, for sure. It has. That's why I can see playing him today, but he's not my top stud to play for on the slate. But I would target more so like Michael Porter Jr. in this type of matchup, even though he's a little priced up at 7,100. But that is if Murray's out. Will Barton too is a great play too. It's kind of hard to play Aaron Gordon, honestly, too, since he's come over from Denver, because he's not getting as many shots as he was before when he went with Orlando. So it's going to be interesting, but he's a good fit for tournaments, definitely, for sure. And I also do like Monte Morris if Jamal Murray sits. You might even be able to still play him at 3,700, depending on the minutes. Tonight, I got to see how many minutes he plays tonight, but even on this game, on a back-to-back, I think he can play a good part in your lineup tonight with 3,700.
Utah at Phoenix is where we finish out here. We have a 225 total. Utah favored by 2. Injury news, like, both these guys really good. Teams really good. Not a lot of injuries here. So that means, like, 6 guys are getting ruled out throughout the day in this game. Let's start with the Jazz. I just look at this game and I'm like, there's going to be a lot of defense played in this game, but it's going to probably be the most competitive game on the slate. What are we looking at here for Utah?
See, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get to anyone from this game, like you said, because it's going to be competitive, but it's going to be a slow-paced game. And obviously in DFS, we want to target high-paced games, high totals, teams that turn over the ball a lot. So this game is probably going to be a complete scratch for me, but if I did have to play some people from the game, Rudy Gobert would be probably one of my go-to guys on this team, and Donovan Mitchell. That's really it. I can't even see myself playing Mike Conley a little bit in tournaments, but that's really it. Just those three. I can't see myself getting to anyone else unless like one of the mothers, like one of those three sit, then opens up value and other plays elsewhere on the team.
Phoenix, like, I don't know, man. This game, as much as, like, this game is going to be, like, competitive, it's just, like, it's tough to play this game. Is there anything standing out to you for Phoenix?
No, not at all. Not a single person. I mean, Booker's too expensive. Chris Paul, they're all priced up. The only person that's kind of Ayton's at his salary. The only person maybe you could play maybe is Jake Crowder or Dario Saric, because he's back. Dario Saric. Other than that, not really anyone I want to take a shot at from this team. Like I said, this game is going to be kind of hard to roster anyone from there because of the price and the matchup.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You just look at it and you're just like, this game is just like,
yes.
I want to like this game so much more. And like, I don't play. I play like 1 to 3 entries pretty much every night. If I was running like 150, I would have some stacks of this game, just because if I had to pick a game to like potentially go OT, I would be like, all right, this game could potentially go overtime and stuff like that. But yeah, I just think overall, man, I can't get into this game. I can't get excited about this game as much as I want to.
Yeah, I can't either. I tried. It's hard to.
favorite, let's get into the morning grind game, and then we're going to get out of here. We're going to use DraftKings pricing. Favorite play under 5K to go 7X?
You think I would know this by now? Is this hard when you have when you get thrown the spot? Okay.
Give me Boban.
That's a good call. Goodness gracious. Sorry.
I was trying to buy more time for you.
Yeah, no. And the thing about it is I still can't see no one that I that's what happens when you don't know you don't have anyone you like, but you know, I'm gonna take a shot on here with not knowing the news on how the Indiana game's gonna shake out. I'm gonna take a shot and go which is Justin Holiday. I like him too. I didn't mention him. I forgot to mention him, but if everyone else is out, he's definitely in a good spot.
Over 8K to go under 5X. Who's your bust at the top today?
Terry Rozier.
All right. I don't know if I guess I'm going to go Devin Booker just because I really hope that just stays low scoring. Favorite 6X play. Sorry, I was looking at my sheet and I mind blanked for a second.
No, you're fine. Favorite 6X play. Give me... Where is he? That was... Give me... Kevin Porter Jr.
I like it. I like it. I'm gonna go Graham. I really like Devontae Graham today at that price. Hoping that game just stays close. So yeah, I think that's who I'm kind of liking in that one. Let's get weird GPP. Let's get weird GPP play of the day. I should have used Boban for this one.
Yeah, that would have been a good one for this one. My weird GPP play, is going to be, actually, it's not Ish Smith. Ish Smith is going to be my weird GPP play of the day. He played 21 minutes in the last game, and I don't expect Bradley Beal to play, so he's going to be different because everyone else is going to be targeting Raul Neto.
Oh man, is Wendell Carter Jr. get freaky? Like, is he?
I
get weird.
So, Stevie, I'm gonna tell you, I don't play him at all. I played him a lot of like last year. I played him so many times, and he just did not perform well for me. So he is completely weird to me.
He's out. Like Dre's like, I'm not playing that guy. I'm out. No chance. All right, game selection. Anything standing out to you here on FanDuel or DraftKings today?
I'm looking on DraftKings right now. See the NBA 25K rotation player where 66 style entry. Only 434 people enter when you have and it pays 5K up top to first place. And then also gives you 2,500 second and 1,000 and 1,500 third. So I think that's a good even amount structure for paying out.
All right. I can't remember what I said yesterday. So I'm going to go low dollar today. The NBA block over there on FanDuel, it's a $2 single entry tournament. If you're learning single entry, maybe you haven't been playing on FanDuel very long. I think this is a great one to check out. Pays a decent amount of the field. Somebody's going to turn $2 into $700 if they take it down by themselves. It's a 9-game slate. You're likely going to take it down by yourself. So I do think that this is a good spot to continue to build your single entry. Keep working on a single entry. You know, if you're not playing MME and you want to try to build a bankroll, not chasing those like very top heavy payout tournaments, you know, check out these single entry tournaments, check out that $2 one and, you know, continue to get better for it. Over under against the spread. We don't have a ton of picks with this one today. We don't have a ton of lines out. Honestly, I'm looking at it and there's like nothing that stands out to me for the three lines that we have. Is there anything that's standing out to you here?
Only thing I'm going to say is I'm going to go under on the spread for the Phoenix Utah game.
I like it. There you go. Anything else before we get out of here, Dre?
No, just pay attention to news tomorrow, because that's going to be very important on the slate, especially going forward with NBA's cut. And then I recommend if you can't be by your computer after lock, please don't multi-enter. Just play single lineups because you can pretty much be wasting money down the drain.
It is. Man, it's NBA season in April. So that's going to wrap it up here for the NBA podcast for Wednesday. Will and Justin will be on tomorrow. I'll be back next Tuesday for NBA, but baseball will be on all week. So hope everyone has a great Wednesday. Good luck in your contest, and we'll see you guys again tomorrow.